This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Your home should be your shelter, not a health risk. When Layla's kids kept getting sick, she thought it was just winter until she learnt about the healthy home standards. Did you know your landlord must make sure your home is warm and dry by law?
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, nō mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau Ōti Pōti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. In tonight's show, what we're going to explore is the healthy home standards for rental properties and then what you can do if your rental home does not meet these standards. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at CAB here in Ōti Pōti Dunedin. By the 1st of July this year, all rental homes, all rental properties must comply with the healthy home standards and all tenancy agreements must include a signed healthy home statement from the landlord, which tells you basically how well your rental property meets those healthy home standards. And so what they do is they put in place minimum standards for heating, insulation, ventilation, moisture ingress and drainage and draft stopping in rental properties. And just FYI, moisture ingress means unwanted water getting into your building. So the healthy home standards only apply to rental properties that are covered by the Residential Tenancy Act. So that is private rentals, council social housing, boarding houses, but of note here, not private boarding, just boarding houses, and kaianga ora and other government registered social housing. So, yeah, what do they say? What do these healthy home standards say? So, for heating, under the healthy home standards, the landlord must provide at least one fixed, and that's not a portable, so it's fixed into the wall or floor, one fixed heater that can directly heat the living room to at least 18 degrees. That's a minimum standard. Having adequate heating in the other rooms is, as well is even better, but that's the minimum they have to do. The heater or the heaters must have a heating capacity of at least 1.5 kilowatts and they must be appropriate for the room, you know, and that's going to consider, they have to consider the size of the room, how many internal and external walls it has and how big the windows are. So you might ask, how do you actually work out the heating requirements for your living room if you want to check that your heating meets the healthy home standards? So firstly, there's a really great article on our website that's titled, which is cab.org.nz, www.cab.org.nz, and it's titled, Does the Landlord Have to Provide Heating in Their Rental Properties? And so it has that information I just talked about, the heater and, you know, to 18 degrees and the 1.5 kilowatt. But also in there, you'll find a link to the Tenancy Service Heating Assessment Tool. And so you can use that to work out what the heating requirements will be for your living room. And so that's found at www.tenancy.govt.nz. Like I said, that link is in our article, Does the Landlord Have to Provide Heating in Their Rental Properties? And there's also in that article a link to their guide to using the assessment tool. So you can look at that before you start, because there's a bit of information that you'll have to have handy before you use the tool, like the size of your living room and dimensions. And that includes the dimensions of the walls, and the dimensions of the floor, and then also the size of the windows. The tool gives you a report that actually shows the minimum heating capacity that you need for your main living room. You can use it to check if your current heating is enough to meet the required heating standard. Or, you know, then if it doesn't, you can request the landlord to install a new heater or heaters. And the report also, obviously, helps you prove that a rental home does or does not meet the standards. Just remember, though, that the more accurate the information you put in, the more accurate the report will be. To gather all that information first will help you come out with a report that's accurate. If your rental home is complicated to measure, like, you know, if you've got sloping ceilings or weird shapes, the tool makes assumptions. And, like, sometimes it might overestimate the heating. So it's a good idea in those situations to get a professional, like a home performance assessor, to calculate that more accurately for you. In Dunedin, Okaha have a Better Homes program. It's just for eligible whānau. They can be contacted on 477-0071. And they also have a website, okaha.co.nz, A-U-K-A-H-A, if you want to read more about that. And there's an online contact form on there to discuss getting an assessor. There's other ones that if you want help with finding others, please call us. There'll be more information at the end about how to contact us. Your living area, like I said, must have an acceptable heater. And the types are important here. So this includes a heat pump or an electric heater that has to have a thermostat, a wood burner, a pellet burner, or a flued gas heater. So open fires and unflued gas heaters don't meet the standard. And if the living space is really small, a fixed electric heater may meet the test, but for most houses, a heat pump, a flued gas heater, or a modern wood burner or pellet fire will be required. So insulation, the insulation standard is one of the five healthy home standards that apply to rental homes. Again, just remember that it only applies to rentals that are covered by the Residential Tenancy Act. Again, boarding houses, private rentals, kāinga ora, or other government registered social housing or council social housing. So insulation standard is that all rental homes must have insulation that meets the 2008 building code, or if there is existing insulation, it must be at least 120 millimetres thick. The ceiling insulation can be under 120 mils thick if it had the minimum R value when it was installed, and that R value hasn't worsened significantly. The R value of insulation is a measure of how well it keeps heat in. Now, of note, there's three specific ones. Or the insulation standard. There's some general exemptions that I will refer to later, but the three specific ones in relation to insulation are important. So obviously, if you can't get in or the access is impractical or unsafe, then, you know, due to like the design or limited access, or if you're going to cause a lot of damage or for health and safety reasons, you know, and a professional installer is unable to get in there to insulate, then, like, say if where a professional installer couldn't get in, for example, when a property is re-roofed, that might be the only time they'd be able to do it, but they're not going to take the roof off to do it. So that would be an exemption if that was the only way in. There might be partial exemptions for underfloor insulation, like, say, if they already had underfloor insulation that was installed when the home was built or converted, but it's still got to be in reasonable condition. And the landlords must have a copy of any compliance documents that shows that it met the requirements of the time. ceilings and floors with other, you know, people living above or below. So that's the third exemption where, you know, there might be an apartment above you or another floor of the same building, then those areas do not require insulation to meet the Healthy Homes insulation standard. So examples of insulation exemptions are things like, it might say something like on your Healthy Homes compliance statement, which you have to have as part of your tenancy agreement, might say something like foil insulation is installed under the floor and I have the appropriate compliance documents. Or it might say something like, it's not reasonably practical for a professional to install underfloor insulation in some areas due to the slope of the land, as there is not enough space under the lounge and bathroom for a professional to access the area to install insulation. Or it might say the property is built on a concrete slab, so there's no underfloor area where we can install insulation. Or it might say insulation information is not provided in the council building file. The ceiling space is also inaccessible. You know, and the roof would need to be lifted. They would probably have to say something like the landlord confirms that all reasonable steps have been taken to find this information. Yeah, so there are a few exemptions for that standard, which makes sense. So the third standard is ventilation. So proper ventilation in rental properties helps prevent mould and dampness. All rental properties must follow the ventilation standards. They must have openable windows in the living room, the dining room, kitchen and bedrooms. All habitable rooms in a rental property must have at least one window, door or a skylight which opens to the outside and can be fixed in the open position. In each room, the size of the open windows, doors and skylights together must be at least 5% of the floor area of that room. All kitchens and bathrooms also must either have an extractor fan that vents air to the outside or a continuous mechanical ventilation that meets certain criteria. So that a mechanical ventilation system means that extracted air is vented continuously from the room. On an article on our website, what are the Healthy Home Standards? Ventilation is summarised halfway down that article, and there's a link through to the tenancy services information about ventilation standards. And again, once you are there, you can use a ventilation tool, which again determines whether you have appropriate extractor fan in your bathroom or kitchen, or and kitchen. Again, there are a couple of exemptions, which you can also read about on the tenancy services ventilation standards info on that same page. So the next standard is drainage. So rental properties must have efficient drainage for the removal of stormwater. That's the water that comes from rain, lands on your roof or lands on the surfaces around your house. So they must have efficient drainage for stormwater, surface water, groundwater, including an appropriate outfall. And, you know, so an outfall is the place where the water from the drains empties out to. So drainage systems include the gutter, downpipes, drains for the removal of water from the roof. If the rental property has an enclosed subfloor, like a basement, a ground moisture barrier must be installed if it is possible to do so to stop moisture from rising into the home. So that is generally a polythene sheet, which is this black polythene sheet that can be bought from most building retailers. So you can install it yourself or you can get a building professional to do it. If you can't get under the house, like it has a concrete floor, then they're not required to install a alternative moisture barrier. So a little bit more about mold and dampness for you now, because this is pretty important for your health. So as you probably know, mold growth in your home can affect you and your family or anyone else's living there, you know, their health. So exposure to mold is associated with things like asthma and makes you less resilient to illness. The key is to keep your house warm, dry and well ventilated. Some signs that you might have a mold problem are a musty smell, indoors. The clothes in your closet or drawers get mold or mildew on them. There's stains or watermarks on some walls or the ceiling, and wooden areas in your house are rotten. It's often caused by damp conditions, so some things you can do is make sure your kitchen, laundry, bathroom are well ventilated, keeping windows ajar, but you know, obviously think about burglars, and installing exhaust fans. Only use a gas feeder if it has a flue going to the outside, because burning gas produces moisture. Keep the bathroom door closed when showering to prevent steam from getting into other parts of the house. Avoid drying clothes indoors, except in a clothes dryer that vents to the outside. Keep furniture away from external walls. Leave wardrobe doors ajar to allow airflow. And check for underfloor dampness, you know, because there might be a blocked drain or gutters or something, or vents that are blocked by soil or plants. And, we talked about the polythene sheet under the house. That's a biggie for preventing moisture from the ground coming up into the house, rising into the house. And look for leaks in the roof, external walls, and get them fixed. Also, remove any mold you do find in your home. I mean, you can get mold-killing products at the supermarket, but actually white vinegar is very effective. And you just spray a wipe with white vinegar. Dilute it first with equal amounts of water, so it's 50-50. That's for on a painted surface. It should be okay, 100%. Vinegar on other surfaces. Leave it for a few days and then wipe it off with a clean cloth. It's a good idea to chuck that cloth out so you don't introduce mold spores elsewhere. So the last standard is the blocking of drafts. So you'll know that drafts make homes colder and, you know, make your heating costs more expensive. So rental homes must not have any unreasonable gaps or holes in walls, ceilings, windows, doors that cause noticeable drafts. If the door has an unreasonable gap, it must be stopped. And landlords must also block unused chimneys and fireplaces. And they can't use the age or condition of a home as a reason not to stop gaps. So I just want to tell you now that there are actually three general exemptions to these standards, as well as the specific ones that I've mentioned above. And that is if the landlord is going to demolish or significantly rebuild the property and they applied for the relevant resource or building consent before the Healthy Homes compliance date of the 1st of July this year. That exemption only lasts for 12 months from that 1st of July, and they'd have to provide evidence if asked for, and they have to provide it within 10 working days. The other exemption, general exemption, is if the tenant is the immediate former owner. So if the landlord bought the property from the tenant. So this exemption, again, only lasts for 12 months from the date the tenancy starts. If the landlord does not own the entire building, like it might be part of a building, like there might be just one apartment that they own, so they might be partially exempt from some of the Healthy Home standards because of like restricted access or the shared ownership issues. So now you need to know what to do if your rental home is not meeting the standards. So first check your tenancy agreement. All renewed tenancy agreements, or most, must include an up-to-date signed Healthy Home standard compliance statement. If it does not meet a standard, the landlord must give a valid reason on their compliance statement. The compliance statement must include the exemptions that we discussed above. You know, for example, like insulation is compulsory. If it's reasonably practical to install it. You know, they've got to say these things. If your rental property does not comply and it's not exempt, then your landlord could be in breach of the Residential Tenancy Act. First and best thing to do is, when there are any issues with your rental, are to talk to your landlord. They want to keep their house in good repair, and the majority of landlords are reasonable and responsible and will follow the Residential Tenancy Act. Keep in mind that if the landlord, you know, your relationship with your landlord sours, it makes your life stressful. When asking a landlord to do something, it's good this is communicated in a friendly tone while still making the point that the current situation is unacceptable to the tenant. Can also be helpful to consider the situation from the landlord's perspective and what's likely to be most important to them. And it's not about minimising the issue that you have. It just means that the issue can be approached with some understanding of where the landlord is coming from. We have a great article on our website again, www.cab.org.nz, what is the best way to resolve a dispute with my landlord? And it starts with trying to talk to your landlord so that you can each clarify your rights and obligations and try to come to an agreement. Obviously, here you would need to have a good understanding of your legal rights and obligations and those of your landlord. And this will help you, the tenant, you know, feel more comfortable when talking to the landlord about resolving problems. So, good advice. Tell the landlord about the problem in person or on the phone first, then follow up with a letter confirming the conversation. If nothing happens, contact the landlord again. Keep copies of all letters or notes you send to the landlord or receive from them. Keep a record of your conversations with the landlord, dates, times, what was said, any witnesses. Very good practice to do that. Tenants and landlords can often resolve problems between themselves, and that will generally be less stressful and less time-consuming. There is a link in that article on our website to a guide that's titled Settling Disputes Through Self-Resolution. Going through the steps in that booklet before raising the issue with the landlord can be really valuable for clarifying the issues and working out some solutions. Any agreement with the landlord should be dated and signed by both parties, and the tenant should keep a copy. You know, what the work's going to be done, who will do the work, who will pay for it, and when it's going to be complete. However, as talking and putting in writing to your landlord doesn't work, and the landlord doesn't sort things out in a reasonable time period, and reasonable will depend on the nature of the issue, of course, but sometimes the landlord may need time to organise them. But if they haven't done anything in a reasonable time frame, the tenant may want to check in with the landlord. Polite follow-up discussion or email can sometimes result in action. But if they will not commit to making the home meet the standards and you've waited too long, you can give your landlord a 14-day notice to remedy. And that's a letter warning the landlord that if they have 14 days to fix the problem, or you may go to the tenancy tribunal to sort it out. We can point you to a template for this. And there's also a really good website, tenant.aratohu, aratohu.nz, that CAB developed with tenancy groups, that has that template on it. If they haven't done this after, you know, made reasonable progress, then you can apply. You would have to apply to the tenancy tribunal. Another option is, though, there's free formal mediation through tenancy services before applying. So you could try that. It's formal mediation, and it does show a willingness to listen and achieve mutually beneficial outcomes. And it helps discuss grievances and hear the landlord's side in a safe environment. It's binding, anything that comes out of that, but you might, however, feel that it's a waste of time and you want to go straight to the tribunal. And that's where both of you get to, and, you know, you and the other party get a chance to explain your situation. And this is what I will be exploring with you in our next episode on the 10th of September at 8:30 p.m. The Tenancy Tribunal, what decisions can it make, how to apply, and also a little bit about the Tenancy Services Compliance and Investigations team. So remember, we also have a number of articles on our website relating to the information we've shared tonight. What are the healthy home standards? You know, my rental does not comply. What can I do? So the Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on ORFM 105.4 FM. And the episodes are also available on podcast on www.oar.nz/shows Resettling in Aotearoa. If you have enjoyed the show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show with and the podcasts with family and friends and your workmates. You can contact us on CAB on 03471 6166 or email us via our website, Find a CAB, Contact Us. Ngā mihi ki a koe for tuning in this evening. Kia tino pai, te pō. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.